Welcome to PTG TV. This is your host, Antonio Hicks, aka Escaping the Matrix, back with another episode with my now co-host, Mr. John Josie Kendricks.
Hello, folks. How you doing? It's a fine day in January, and I know you just got back.
I did just get back.
Yeah.
I just got back. So those who don't know, I just got back from, don't follow me on social media. If you're not following me on social media, you're kind of whack. From the Sundance Film Festival, which was interesting. It was interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. The Sundance Festival, as a layman, I look at the Sundance Festival as just kind of a high level Comic-Con, And I always I've never been there. I'm a huge film buff. I love Kevin Smith. That's one of the big cogs in his empire. I love his stuff. Like Jersey represent. What was it like though? For the average Joe to go, or is it just film people everywhere?
Yes, it was film people everywhere. The only reason I went is because my wife works in film.
Okay.
So she works as a script supervisor and a producer. And it's always been her dream to go.
All right.
Even though I do content, knows me, I do content. But I never thought that my content was a level where, it would be something that people up there would be interested in, or something to the degree that they were using it, because they have full-fledged production sets to where they need script supervisors, they need grips, and grips are the people that actually do set designs. They need people to do storyboards, even though I do storyboard sometimes. They need storyboards, and all the stuff that goes into making film production.
Any film has that list of credits, all those guys, at the end of the movie, right?
I never thought any stuff that I did.
Right.
Would even be on that level, and I was wrong.
Oh, really? I'm thinking short, any kind of film or short films, and there's short films, there's long films, from Clerks to Avatar, all these movies, they have a production to it. But you're saying that what you do actually is there is a little universe in there
Yes. So if you're a content creator, period, no matter what kind of content creation you are, it works at Sundance, and there's somebody in need of your sources and what you can do, your talents.
Oh, fantastic. So would it be like what? For example, Twitch or and all those things? Or?
Yeah, so there was, there really was some YouTubers out there, some TikTokers. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of comedy stuff, which I guess you would call that production, because even though it's only 2 to 3 minutes, you still got to, costume and all the stuff together to make the skit even work.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But what I did find out though, if you did audio work or audio, podcast, similar to what we're doing right here.
Okay.
And then some of the stuff I want to start doing with documentaries, that works at Sundance.
Sure.
And they're looking, and now they're trying to push for audio stuff. They're really doing big and heavy on audio files.
Oh, really? So not just the YouTube stuff, which is visual, or having a report, just even as simple as this, we're recording right now.
Yeah.
With a visual on the screen, you're talking about just even the simple, just listen strictly audio production. There's a place for that in Sundance as well.
Yeah. So imagine the old, because I wasn't around either, for old heads, the old. What is it now? Waterworlds. Remember the first Waterworld broadcast?
Waterworld?
War of the Worlds.
Oh, War of the Worlds.
Okay. Yeah,
I channeled that terrible movie, Kevin Costner. War of the Worlds.
The War of the Worlds broadcast.
Yeah, it was Orson Welles.
Right. And people thought it was actually real.
Right. Right.
So they actually are producing content. I love, because Markiplier has one, I forget what it is called. Mm-hmm. And it's actually, it's a production stuff. It's almost like a movie, but it's this audio version of a movie. So you got the sound effects and everything that's incorporated in there.
It's funny, entertainment's got full circle.
Right. And I actually like that. I didn't think I would, but I actually like it.
Yeah.
If you're driving, even if you're at home and you're cooking something or whatever, you can play this stuff, and you can just get this, you can use your imagination more, because that's the thing that we don't have a lot nowadays. You don't really use a lot of your imagination, because everything is just right there in your face.
Right.
So you can just watch it yourself. You don't have to visualize anything. So when you're doing the audio acting and stuff, you actually have to picture like what the cast would look like, the characters are, when things are happening. You actually have to visualize it yourself, like when they're on a chase scene or somebody shooting at them and trying to escape. So that's what they're going for, and they push for heavy nowadays.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's like fascinating. Because like what you're saying makes perfect sense about like the imagination. And I guess it does also kind of make sense where there is a market for that. Just like look at the podcast explosion that's in here, right? I mean, I haven't listened to a radio in 10 years,
right?
And I just, me and my podcast, whatever, you know, the podcast you listen to, which is spoken word stuff, all strictly audio. That's what I listen to in my car. That's the only thing I listen to in my car.
Yeah.
So you're saying that, but not just the podcast, we're two guys just talking, and solving the world's problems. Not just that, but we're actually doing producing like audio stories.
Yeah,
and that's fantastic.
That's what they're trying to shoot for, like especially Audacity. Mm-hmm. They're pushing to do like audio stories to capture people's imagination and get them to do more listening. Okay. Like audiobooks, like what's the name? Prince Harry just released his book.
Yeah.
And now he has audio version of his book that you can pay for and actually listen to him talking about, you know, the book itself and reading out of the book. And President Obama did the same thing with his book. So a lot of people are adapting and going to that new style.
That's so like, I mean, you're talking like the old books on tape, which have been around for a while. But actually you're saying instead of like, of course that will always be a thing where you have the books on tape or, and you can read or whatever you want to call it, listen to the book. But you're saying like, this is actually the produced stories that would just focus on audio first.
Yep.
That's impressive. So like, you know, I'm imagining like when you look at any production, like a visual production, like we were talking about before, like you have, you know, reps, you have a cameraman, you have producers, you have set design, you have all these things, you have, you know, script supervisors, actors, the talent. Is it that as intensive with just audio too?
Yeah, because
I have so many questions. I just don't like it.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I really did find it interesting because you do have to still sell cast for that part.
Right.
But now you don't have to worry about how you look,
right,
per se.
Costumes out.
Okay. Yeah, that's out of the picture. It's just like, you know, how you tell the story and how you acting out the part itself, which, I mean, anybody can do it. If you don't really have a camera in your face, I think anybody can really get that down pat, because now you can just focus on your vocals as opposed to focusing on, you know, your eye movements or anything else to make something believable.
Right. So, yeah, like, you know, go to, like, you know, Al Pacino and Godfather. That's just an amazing visual act.
Right.
Or you go to like an audio thing, like Robin Williams is famous for being one of the best, like, you know, the Aladdin. Like, they just said, oh, we just put that guy in a booth and just go. And just his voice. The
Morgan Freeman's or James Earl Jones. Everybody love James Earl Jones' voice. Yeah. He's in freaking everything.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other actors out there that have like great voices. Like, he was another guy there. He's an Asian actor. And I forget his name because he was on the panel too, and his voice just sounds freaking amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so that's what, you know, they're gravitating towards. And then of course the docuseries are blowing up. I didn't know this. I mean, I know everybody does a documentary, but docuseries are blowing up.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So if you're doing like days in life of stuff with people and actually want to tell a story from that point of it, everybody's watching that.
That's the fascinating part of that, like this stuff. I know, like, you know, what we're talking about, I like the minutia. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm our ESPN, like I've read the ESPN book. The history of ESPN, what it takes behind the camera. Never mind the sports is second.
Yeah.
Like what it takes to actually put this stuff, press power, and have someone listen to it. There's a whole bunch of work, like you're saying. There's like even this 1.5-2 minute skits you see on YouTube all the time. Like, there's a ton of work goes involved in that. And with this audio thing, it's just like the audio stories, I guess. I don't know if it's a genre. I'm curious, like, what different hurdles they have. They're swimming in it. In the same pool, but they're in different.
Right.
There's still different skill sets.
And
right?
I think, in like, what's the guy's name? It's, Jeremy. Jeremy did 12 Years of Slave. I'm going to give you his full name because I actually connected with him.
Like, all right.
Well, Jeremy Kleiner.
Okay.
Jeremy Kleiner did 12 Years of Slaves. Homicide, but a couple of other movies. Anyway, he's a huge producer and director, and he's doing that now. But what he said people are doing, why they're going towards it, because the budget is low, and you can spit them out a lot faster.
Right.
So as opposed to it taking a year, 2 years to produce a full-fledged movie, you can do, you can push out shows a week at a time.
That makes, I guess it makes sense. I remember like that was a, that's how this whole, the whole reality craze happened was the first, but I can't stand reality shows.
I can't stand reality TV.
But I do remember a funny quote, like the history of the real world, which is basically the first reality show. Mm-hmm. And all it was like, oh, we don't have to spend money on scripts or actors or anything like this. Just like five people in a room, just point cameras at them. That's all you got. That costs nothing. All right, just 30 minutes, go.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And so that makes sense when it comes to these things where like you're eliminating all these costs. So like, all right, well, we can still produce a good product without having it to be a bunch of people CGI blue.
Right. Right. Because it takes millions of dollars to do. I mean, you're talking about CGI, green screen effects. You're talking about, what is it? Not even audio. What is it? Pyrotechnics?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pyros.
All those things.
Practical effects. Just never mind the talent. Just, yeah. And James Cameron has to get his slice. And it's right. I'm sorry. By the way, I just, side note, over the holidays, I saw Avatar 2. That's all. Apparently all I did all week. That was forever. I hate that movie.
You didn't like it?
I hated it.
I loved the first one.
I hated them both. It was such a visceral hatred for both these movies. And they took forever.
But it was,
but anyways,
for people for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even like where we're at now. So we're at Kit Lounge, which is like a tech cohort down in downtown Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I know y'all can hear it, you know, long guy going in the background.
You're welcome.
But, even for tech people, they need tech people. Like they have people there was talking about, you know, they want to get, apps created to push their content on. Yeah. So I'm like, so that's what I was telling, you know, a couple of founders here. I was like, y'all should really consider going to Sundance. Because I'm like me. I never thought to go to Sundance. I'm like, now that I've gone, I'm going back next year. Once I find out the dates, I'm actually going to book my hotel for next year.
Okay.
So I'm like, y'all should go because they do need tech people. Like the audio there was terrible. The audio, they need better audio engineers. Like I really want to talk about this before even talk with John. The audio was terrible. Like the only person that had great audio was Audacity. And I'm like, you better have great audio.
Oh yeah, that's your,
because that's what you
name.
Do.
It's the name of your,
So, but everybody else, we would go to panels and they would have two receiver microphones at the front of the stage, but nothing would be in the back. And nobody wants to shut the hill up. Everybody's talking, everybody's trying to network. And so people in the back, you can't hear anything.
Right.
Because you don't have any microphones, you don't have any speakers back there. So they're telling people to hush. And I'm like, hey, you're not gonna get people to shut up. people here are trying to make deals. They're trying to get money for movies they're trying to produce.
I can imagine now, like the egos.
Oh yeah.
Wow. That's like a whole perfect storm of ego.
Yeah, it's terrible. One thing, I mean, outside of that though, people were pretty nice.
Yeah.
Like everybody was pretty nice. It was only, no, did I have a bad situation? No, I didn't have a bad situation. Like everybody was really, and if you're not an approachable person, like I'm an introvert, extrovert. Like I don't do well at network seminars because I've been doing corporate for so long. I hate doing stuff like that because everybody makes promises, but nothing ever comes true.
Right.
So
it's like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
Wah, wah, yeah.
So I'm there. Only reason I'm there is to go to panels and see what I can learn.
Right.
And then maybe watch a movie or two and see what new stuff is coming out or potentially could come out with the trailers and stuff they're producing there. But, you know, fortunately for me, I guess I have the approachable face. Everybody kept approaching me, asking me like, why are you here? And then, you know, we're trying to exchange contact information. And I really did. I got some great contacts out of it.
Wow, okay.
Now, what comes out of it?
Not even trying.
I don't know. But nevertheless, I did get some great contacts. Mm-hmm. And I was able to meet like one of my people I really did want to meet, Pinky Cole, who the founder and creator of Slutty Vegan.
Okay. Oh, so okay, yeah.
She was there because she hosted one of the events at the Macro Lodge. Shout out Macro Lodge. Y'all were the go-to place at Sundance, which you probably already know there because you had lines wrapped around the goddamn building trying to get up in there.
I'm guessing if you're a vendor at Sundance, you're doing pretty good. But yeah, and you do a good job there.
Yeah.
That's
and I will say too, like if you go, you don't have to buy tickets to go. Like you can go and try to just get on a wait list. You can book events. So they do have events that you can just get on the wait list for.
Okay, so yeah, let's break that down. That's what I'm kind of curious about. Is it, you know, because again, I'm thinking of just as a layman. And I love film, familiar with Sundance. Robert Redford, you know, he's the one that actually founded it. What is it like? I all I can think of is a convention. You pay a ticket, convention center style, like Comic Con.
Nah.
And there's like the different things you go to, like whatever piques your interest. What is it like? It's a whole village, right? Though.
Yeah, it's in Park City, Utah.
Right.
It's in downtown Park City. It's like Vegas.
cool.
So they have, it's all on Main Street. All the events on Main Street. Well, not events. Well, I guess the events. All the events on Main Street.
Sure.
They have certain shows that they will show down in Salt Lake City. Then it's because everything else probably was just filled up. But everything literally takes place on Main Street and Park City itself.
Okay.
Now, you can pay for a ticket, which I will pay for a ticket next year.
So that's free. You can just stroll down Main Street and you're okay.
Yes. Yeah, so, okay. So the free part, let's start with the free part.
Yeah.
So free part is you can go to any event for free.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
So you can RSVP and go to it for free. There's a wait list.
Sure.
That makes
sense.
So,
I mean, it makes sense.
And as long as you first come, first serve. Right. So if you're there, you know, you can pretty much get in, and you pretty much almost guaranteed to get in any event that doesn't require paid for registration to get into. Mm-hmm. Now, they do have paid for RSVP registrations. Okay. And they have, I think it's two different prices for them. Now, I think you pay $1,000 for the experience. I think it's like $1,500, $2,000 for the full Sundance experience.
And so that's,
and like the full 10 days.
So let me, okay. So like, that's what I asked you. So like, that's a tier thing. You show up for free.
Yeah.
Or you can do like tier one. Is that like a daily ticket, or just, or they're both weekly, like the whole
it's thing? Almost like the whole week.
Okay, so they're both the whole expand the thing, but just yeah. the big one, the second tier, the big money one.
Yeah, you
you get everything.
You pretty much guaranteed.
It's a backstage pass.
Yeah.
It's priced as such.
So if you pay right. for if you pay for the RS the premium service and mm-hmm. the RSVP, you almost pretty much guaranteed to get in like specialized event. Like Chase was there, mm-hmm. and you couldn't get into a Chase event unless you had like one of those paid for RSVPs, right. or you knew somebody that could let you up in there.
Okay,
but
yeah, I got a guy. Yeah, that's why I'm from Jersey. So yeah.
like, but even if you didn't get to go to,
you got, mean, for average Joe, you got to scratch out a big check. Yeah.
Yeah, but in most cases, you still don't need it because the people that you want to meet are walking around the street anyway. Okay. And they're showing up at free events.
Well, it's so all right. So like you can like what are you paying for then? Like you're just paying for the full experience, and I guess so. What are you getting for your money? I mean, you're seeing everybody you want to see, right? There's celebrities everywhere. It just it is.
Certainly, because like well,
but what do you? So what do you? Why, like how would it go in that second tier be worth it?
So you get to so one event they had Jonathan Majors.
Majors. Yeah. He's doing that like workout movie or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know much about it. It's about all I got, but yeah.
He produced. I think he had two films that were showing there.
And for those who don't know Jonathan Majors, he's Kang the Conqueror in the Marvel series. Just to point that out there.
Yeah, and he's going against what's his name in what's the boxing movie? Creed.
Okay.
Yeah, he's playing in Creed. Jonathan Majors played in a ton of sci-fi movies. It was on HBO. Yeah. I can't even think of the one. I'm terrible right now. Remember the name, but it was a great series. I'm just saddened to get renewed for. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so he was there.
Yeah.
And his event was a private event.
Okay.
And you had an RSVP or paid for RSVP to get into that event to go and see it.
So I can imagine that where like, what little I know about Sundance, well, I mean, who knows what? I've never been there, but I follow, like I said, Kevin Smith, and that was where he, that's a big cog in his thing, where mm-hmm. he was an independent guy, Clerks, Black and White. And then he went to Sundance, and that kind of where really, like he made the movie, but Sundance really did kind of push him down the mountain to where he actually has a career even to this day. Mm-hmm. I can imagine where like there are the big hitter, like Jonathan Majors, big hitter. Like you and I just mentioned, he's King the Conqueror. Like that's a dude. You're gonna have to pay to go to see him. But then there's, the other indie parts where pretty much anyone can go, I assume.
Yeah, but I mean, he was out and about in regular events. Like I met Danai Gurira. I don't know for those that don't know who she is, she's Okoye from Black Panther.
Okay.
She's, I forget her name from The Walking Dead.
Okay.
Yeah, and she has her own. My pet man, she got a spinoff coming out too from the Walking Dead based on her character, which I love her in Walking Dead, and I'm actually gonna. I haven't watched Walking
Dead. The series
minute.
That won't die, and think about that statement.
I love it though. I love it. But she was at the Audacity event. Of course, we did RSVP. It wasn't pay RSVP. RSVP.
Sure.
And I got to meet her. Mm-hmm. I got to meet Jeremy Kleiner, who's a big, huge director out in Hollywood. I didn't pay to see him. And I met a couple of other people. The British actor, he stars in Bel Air. So that's the spinoff from Fresh Prince of Bel Air. The butler, he was there. He was walking around like every event. Like he was just chilling, walking around every event. Got to see him. It's another young British actor. He was there. I mean, he was at all the matter of fact, he and I got to talking. So we started seeing each other at all the different events, and we were just like kind of dapping each other.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you don't pay for the tickets, you can still have a great experience.
Okay, that's cool. Like, I mean, I can imagine. So, like, did you see? Like, so So I imagine just a bunch of movies that are being shown, like at different times. Like it's a schedule. I know there's a schedule, yeah. And then it is kind of like Bonnaroo a little bit, right? Where mm-hmm. there's a list of movies, and you know you cannot see them all, but some there's overlap.
Yeah.
And so, but how many theaters are there? And like
it's,
you
know, I think it's like three big theaters, but I wasn't going for the I didn't see a movie the whole time I was there. I was okay. going for the panels.
Yeah, because that's the thing I imagine is just the way I'm picturing it is you go to your director or whatever movie kind of, you know, there's a list and you're like, oh, that one looks cool, go to that movie. And then predominantly almost every movie has the panel afterwards, right? Don't they do?
Oh, before.
Oh, before? Okay. Yeah.
So for me, like the reason I was doing that, because I mean, not all, because some of them just panel. They just get up and they just talk about okay, their yeah. experience. And that's what I like to hear because I like to hear people's story.
Yeah, I'm interested.
And in which is why I do what I do now. Yeah. I like to hear a story because I want to hear how you got started in like in their case film, what made you passionate about it. Like one guy, he was he does docuseries, but he's a doctor, like he's a full fledged doctor, okay. And he was like he got tired of doing Dr. the medical Mike. field, and so he does like docuseries on like people, mm-hmm. and I think he's had like two movies featured there at Sundance, like he had one featured here this year at Sundance. So I loved, you know, hearing when I could hear him because he wouldn't speak the hell up. I loved hearing, you know, his story.
Yeah, I love that kind of thing. Like I said, I love the minutia. I like the idea of like, all right, so like you woke up on Tuesday and decided I'm gonna be a filmmaker. Is that what? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So what'd you do then? Like, yeah. You know, that I want, like, then, you know, next year you had a film. Like, all right, what happened between you woke up on Tuesday and now you have a film? What happened between there?
Right. Like, what made you want to get into it?
Yeah.
And so I met a lot of people. I mean, I did meet a lot of people. Like, bro, I met a couple of characters too. Oh my God, I met a couple of characters. Like, one thing I was telling Jersey about before we even started is I met this one Indian guy that was there. And I'm going to preface it as, I don't like people telling other racist stories like that. I mean, I understand if you've got the funding for it, but still, it's hard if you're not a non-Native American. I don't like hearing other people try to tell a Native American story, especially if you don't have a Native American that's helping you write it.
Yeah, I'm the expert on the third trimester for pregnant women. Like, it'd be right. Like, you're just like, oh, that's right. Just, yeah, I'm not.
Like,
yeah.
How can I tell you something about women and I'm not a woman?
Yeah,
like, and I don't have a woman in my staff to help produce the content, but I want to do it because it's what's selling right now.
Yeah, it's just a sphere of like of appropriateness,
right?
Yes. Okay,
it's great if you're a producer or director and you can like help produce the story, but you got the writer that's there to help put everything together to make people can visualize and you mm-hmm. when you visualize what it is they're trying to push out and see. So I say all that to say, now I told you I don't do film.
Right.
I don't do film at all. I'm getting into docuseries this year because I want to do small business docuseries, not because I think they deserve it. But one guy was this Indian guy was there. He's telling me because he's a director out in Hollywood. This is at least what he told me. He's a director in Hollywood.
And this is actually Indian, not Native American.
No, he's Indian.
Okay.
He's from Bangladesh or someplace.
Okay.
But I think he did say Bangladesh. But so he's there and we're talking in line because he walked up and talked to me. I didn't talk to him. He walked talking to me and he's asking me what I'm here for. And I told him what I was and what my specialty is in. I'm like, yeah, I'm an engineer by trade, but I like, you know, I have my podcast and my radio show that I do. And I'm like, I now do my in-person studio audience thing is getting ready to start up. So y'all stay tuned for that February 11th. And I was like, I'm going to get started on doing like, you know, docuseries on my small businesses and stuff and people that need a story told. Not because I'm like, all we ever hear about is like the big people, never anybody at the bottom. Like, this man tells me, I just told him all that. Same thing I just told you. You ever thought about producing a film on Tubi? And I was like, no, I don't think about Tubi. Like, why would I? And I know what, do you know what Tubi is?
I don't even know. Like, so Tubi, I don't feel like it, just to even put a hammer down. Like, I don't think I should know.
No, it's good. If you're a filmmaker,
okay.
And you're a low budget filmmaker, it's great for you because that's where you can publish your content at.
Oh, okay.
So Tubi is an app, and I guess they have a channel now where you like low budget films can produce their stuff,
okay.
And they can put it on there. Which I'm fine with that. I'm like, you know, not everybody have big budgets. I mean, that's how, what's her name? Issa Rae, she got started with her stuff. Mm-hmm. The young lady that was there too, Awkward Black Chick, she got started with her stuff. She made a YouTube series and she blew up and she got funded from that. So I'm all fine with small directors. I don't care who you are, telling your story.
You want support. I mean, I'm all for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
However that gets done, it gets done.
So this guy.
What was this guy's name?
I don't even know his name. Okay. I didn't ask him. I don't even remember his name.
Yeah. What did Bob say?
He was was like, so he says, well, you ever thought about making like series on like, you know, the black gangster movies, because they're all blowing up on Tubi, which I've seen some of their trash. They're blowing on Tubi, and he said they're low budget. He said it kind of looks terrible. He said, but you know, because of pushing out, people are watching them, they're getting like $320 something million a quarter. And I'm sitting like, we're talking to a black man. I told you what I do.
God, this guy sounds like a white guy.
Yeah, I'm told you what I do. And you say, why don't I get into creating content that depicts me and my race in a bad way? And I don't even have a high budget for it. Produce it and put it on Tubi just so I can make some money off of it.
Isn't that already being done?
Yes.
Hasn't it already been done the past
many a time?
100 years? Right. Like, almost every movie?
Right. And I was like, and then he proceeded to say that him and his guys are doing one. And he said he thinks it's great. And that, you know, he's excited about it, but he said it's low budget, so he didn't have to spend a whole ton of money. He said he spent like almost $1 million on it, but you know, it's low budget, so it's not really anything. But they stand to make like $300,000 to $400,000 the first quarter from people watching it. And then when he said that, like, my sister was there too, she heard what heard him.
It sounds like the movie equivalent of clickbait.
Yeah. And so she looked at me because she was waiting for me to snap.
Yeah, I know you well enough to know you can see the ears, like you can see the steam without seeing the steam.
She was waiting for me because, I mean, y'all that don't know me, I'm a political person here, and I doggone sure will go off on anybody when it comes to anything that's being done wrong, especially when it's depicting me and my people, my race, in a bad way.
Yeah,
and I say anybody,
and you're equal opportunity. I mean, that's
I feel that way for anybody.
Right.
If somebody's coming to, I'm gonna say you as a white guy.
Yeah, sure.
If somebody's coming to you and telling you that you don't want to portray anybody that you know in the horrible way possible, and you hate that people that does it now make money off of it, why would somebody come to you and say, well, you should do something like that and make a story about your own people in the most negative way possible?
Right.
So I'm sitting here like, whoa.
I was like, I don't have to worry about that. Because again, white guy, full blonde hair.
Yeah. What I love about John. You know, we can have those conversations without feeling awkward about it. Because I'm like, we get it enough from white America. I like to have an Indian guy come and tell me that, and I'm like, your country is shitty as hell. Mm-hmm. You have terrible sewage. You have high crime rate as well too. You're notorious for raping and tearing down your women. And I was like, so why are you making a story about black Americans and not talking about your own people? I'm like,
look internally. Like,
yeah.
You know, if you want to do it, like, look internally. I mean, don't look at someone else. Like, that's the thing that always drives me nuts. I had a conversation about this earlier today about, and it's like, you don't know anything outside your bubble. Like,
yeah.
And don't make those judgments. You don't know. I have no idea what it's like to be a black guy.
Right.
I have no idea what it's like to, you know, be pulled over by the police for no reason. Never happened to me.
Right.
Almost every black guy I've ever met, like, yeah, you know, DWB.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I've got it, yeah.
Every single one. Like, and I just think about myself and like, me that you just had a flight, like me and just losing like my head at the airport, going through security and losing, you know, just losing every sense of just rational thought when I'm going through security at the airport. I can only imagine what kind of man I would be if I was getting pulled over for no reason, for absolutely no reason.
Yeah, I can deal with that. That's just come with just being
just reality. I mean,
but when you have somebody approach you. And that's not even what you make. And they're just trying to tell you to make that so you can make some money. I was like, you asshole. Because I was like, come on now, man. And I'm like, and then you were so emboldened about yourself to say it to me. And then you crack a smile. Like, it was a straight face. Yeah, like,
it's like, you were serious.
Yeah, you were dead serious.
that's the thing. Like, it just drives me. That's the kind of thing that drives me nuts. It's just like looking at you and be like, this is what you should be doing.
Yeah.
Because that's what all I know about, you know.
Right.
Black folks just do this one thing. That's all you
have. Right.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, it just.
Because I'm like, I can make the same, which I don't. Because I actually pick up books and I actually study people's culture. But I'm like, I can make the same racist remark about you. Not you, I'm saying
him. Oh, no, you could.
No. But I'm just saying, I can say the same thing about him. But I'm like, I'm not going to because what one person does in your community doesn't reflect what everybody does in your community.
Right.
Because I'm like, if that was the case, then it wouldn't be brought over here to work in technology and other fields and stuff. So I'm like, so what makes you think why is it okay for you to come to me? And I'm not dressed any, and not to say I'm portraying any black people in a negative way, but I'm not dressed to
stereotypically.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
I don't have on, you know, like the low, the sag in my pants and everything. I didn't have any of those things on. So why did you think it was okay for you to come to me and tell me I should produce some content like that when I just told you the content that I made?
I mean, luckily, you know, one thing about, you know, like, you know, I always say is like, you know, racism exists. It does.
It does.
It's not, you know, it's not, but it's everybody.
Right.
Like, it's universal.
Yeah. And I'm not going to get on the struggle of being black in America. I mean, because we could talk about DeSantis and what he's done and everybody's trying to ban black.
Oh, yeah. I heard, welcome home. Like, apparently, you know, the whole triangle thing was just you guys are tourists.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I was like, well, it was, thank God for us because, you know, we saved you. We taught you, you know, we gave you homes and all that stuff.
Yeah. So. And you cut us a break and you gave us free jobs and everything. We was able to eat for free and, yeah, all of those things.
You're welcome.
Yeah, all of those things. And I don't want to, we will have an episode on that because I will highly piss off because I'm like, why does, and this is a sidebar.
Yeah.
Before we get back on Sunday.
Otherwise, yeah, we're going to lose our shit.
You cut out African American studies, but you fine with keeping Asian studies. You fine with keeping Indian studies. You fine with keeping regular European, European studies.
Oh, yeah.
You're fine with keeping all those things, but you cut out African American studies. So it's just like, oh my God.
Like, sometimes it's like, it's just a no brainer. Like, I'm sorry, I got nothing. Like, yeah, like there's no, this is indefensible. Just,
no.
But anyways, yeah, that's a rabbit hole. Like, I know where you go down.
Yeah.
I saw that and I was sick. I'm like, oh my God. All right. I mean, that's one of the few times where the headline tells a story. You don't, you don't have to read anything into it. Like, all right, Florida's now, like, DeSantis made it illegal to study African American. Made it illegal.
Which other people will be following the same.
Oh my God.
Still, too.
Thank God.
But, back on Sunday.
Yeah.
Outside of him, he bit hippie. I think he knew he pissed me off because I was seeing him at other events, too.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't say anything else to me because I was like,
well, how did you react? Obviously, like, people around you, I'm guessing anyone who knows you would be like, you have a tick, and then, like, I used to, you know, play cards for a living, and just, like, you see, like, the one tick, and you just do a quick little... You do a head thing.
Like, yeah, just,
like,
so I guess the beauty about me, like, and I always equate it to my corporate stuff because I've experienced racism in corporate America for so long. I turned off. I just went straight corporate, and I was like, nah, that's not my kind of stuff. I don't create content like that. I don't plan to create content like that. But, you know, thanks for making the suggestion.
Because there's no win in that. That's the,
nah.
Here's the problem that people don't understand. Like,
because I could react, but then if, like, I react,
if you any. Reaction you make, he goes back and there's another black guy just, you know, just
flying off the handle
for what reason?
I don't, and everybody around me sees it, right? Well, I'm the one.
Yeah. Yeah. That just fell out of the sky. Like,
And I met this other guy there. He was a real nice guy too. Yeah, actually was pretty cool because he actually wants me to he said he wants me to work with him. But he's producing a film about the first black Heisman Trophy winner.
Okay.
And he's already talked to the family and he's going to do that. And he's a really nice guy. Like, I met him at Audible event and he got to talking to me and he was like, he wants to do an audio version of it, which is why he wants to bring me in on it. So I was cool with that, but I was like, there again, I was like, everybody's telling our stories.
Oh yeah.
And I'm just like,
dude, we need a documentary about Jackie Robinson.
That's what you should do. The guy is nice. And it's like, my only frustration is, which is why I can talk about it in my microphone, in my podcast, is on this show, is the fact that why is it that everybody else wants to tell our stories? And like, it's not like he's a big director because he was there to try to pitch, get funding for it. So he didn't have the money. He's trying to get the money to actually produce it. So I'm like, there is nobody else in history that you can like grab and say, you know what? So he's thinking about the audience that he can grab, how he can get same as the Indian guy,
right,
how I can get money off of it. So I'm going to talk about, you know, something that black Americans can get, they can get hyped up about. They would probably love to hear his story. Let me push this out there. And, you know, I can I'll make some sales from it.
I would say, like, it just sounds like you're making, it sounds so, I mean, it's obvious on the nose, but you're putting the sale before the story.
Yeah.
Right? And like, it feels weird where I know everything's sales and like, you know, we can go up and down on Hollywood and the industry entirely. But like, you are, but like, Sundance was supposed to be, its original intent really was like, let's get some artists and creators together and see if we can get these guys as a start.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've referred to him like five times, right? Kevin Smith, you know, like, you know, he just maxed out his credit cards and did his, you know, told a story from like a day in the life of a convenience store clerk. And then he found an audience. And you can, and it's about finding those audiences. That's Quentin Tarantino, you know, that's where he gets got to start. That it should be about the art, about the, you know, telling the story. But then you have stories like this, it's just a, like a bummer. it's like, you're putting, I get you want to make money. We all want to make money.
Yeah.
But the whole point in this is you're in a room full of artists. It's like about the art too. Yeah.
It's interesting. It's, there are, I mean, other people out in history that's interesting. I mean, you can tell a story about somebody that we don't know.
Right. Or even if you want to do like a new take.
Yeah.
You know, like I was actually, strange enough, I was looking up like an interesting documentary app. On a German who had a mustache, like right here, about his drug addiction, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
And people don't know, like, realize he was doing speedballs. he was a crackhead. And that's like, no one hears that story. But I mean, if you're going to go that down that road, just tell a different story.
Yeah, because, I mean, you could tell one about, what's her name? I forget her name because I love her death. She's the first female programmer. She's a white woman. Mm-hmm. First female programmer, because programming used to be, you know, it was an admin thing. He could have told a story about her. I would watch it. I mean, I love it. I would watch it. But I'm like, but then again, would it make any sales?
Right. You know, so like we have to do, you know, George Washington again and the cherry tree. Everyone knows that story. So you have to sell it again.
And I get it, you know, especially after everybody saw the success of Black. I mean, we've had other major films prior to that. I should say any Black film that you make and you tell the story really well, it's gonna make some money.
It's
guaranteed to make a ton of money.
It's the story, right? If you do the good story that you're passionate about, it generally will work out, right? Like, you know, that's more important than the marketing. Like, actually, just to do another comic book movie, is Deadpool, right? Where, you know, it's rated R, studios hated it. But, you know, Ryan Reynolds, you know, another, you know, white savior. But he's like, you know, I want to tell the story, and it doesn't matter if it's R rated. I want to tell it, and if it's only you do a good job telling the story, it will make money.
Yeah.
You know,
I love Ryan Reynolds. I love Deadpool.
Oh, yeah. Deadpool's awesome. And he was very serious about, like, this is a passionate project. It's like, tell the story, tell it passionately, like you care about it. And you know what? The results will be there.
Yeah.
Right? And that's I would hope that's the lesson, instead of just constantly we complain about them, you know, we're making the same movie again. Like, all right, well.
Yeah, and I get tired of that.
Yeah.
Like, I get tired of it. First of all, I get tired of seeing the struggle of Black people from back in the day. I'm just like.
But, I mean, thankfully, we have
beat that down.
There's always a white guy there to help.
I'll be up.
You know, right? Dangerous Minds, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I don't mean to spit towards him. I mean, like I said, he was a very nice guy. He was actually pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
It's, there's nothing, I couldn't get any bad, not like any guy. I didn't get any bad intent or ill will coming from him. You know, he was, and I'm like, the story did sound interesting.
Right.
Because I was like, I don't know who the first Heisman Trophy person is. I'm like, and that's great that you want to talk to the family and you want to produce the content for him. I'm like, I just thought it was cool. But I'm like, you know, it's always somebody else telling our story. Now, not to say that I'm not going to reach out to him. But that was just one part of it. But outside of that, the one bad experience I have, the whole time, everything else was just great.
And how long were you there for?
I was there for 5 days.
5 days, okay.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Now, Uber, terrible.
Well, that's surge pricing, baby. Right?
No, Uber prices weren't bad.
Oh,
Lyft,
yeah.
Lyft was there. So I guess Lyft was the driving sponsor of this
really?
Event.
So it's only Lyft and Lyft only? Like, somehow they got that?
No, they had Uber. So they had Uber drivers that was there, but they actually had a Lyft spot up there with heated lamps and everything that you can go wait by. They had signs out. They didn't have a spot for Uber, just Lyft. And you
so Lyft, Lyft wrote a check.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And they got paid from it, too. I had to take Lyft one time. Because my Uber driver, we had one Uber driver, because we had to stay in Salt Lake City.
That was my other question. So like,
so
where you're staying versus this.
You know, yeah. So if you go. So okay. Well, let's
how
go
far
back.
Away are you?
Let's go back to the beginning.
Right.
If you decide to go, which I think you should go. You want to try to get your tickets when you want to try to book your hotels almost a year ahead of time.
Oh, yeah. I think this is it should be common sense, but it's not.
Yeah.
You know, for those of you folks that try to get a 7 o'clock reservation on the day of Valentine's Day, and you complain about it, this is for you.
Yeah.
As a guy who worked in restaurants for the like bartender, like, I hate that guy.
Yeah.
And he's everywhere.
Don't, because if you try to get a hotel room, I don't care if it's a week before the event, you can forget that. You're not staying anywhere near Park City.
So this is not an impulse trip.
No.
Which is what you're saying, can't just swing by.
So we booked this back in first part of December.
Oh, so you left three, even that to me is like almost cut it close.
It was close.
You know, that's about a month and a half away, right?
Yeah.
Really, okay.
So, and I mean, we were able to get a decent room, and we said, well, we got an Airbnb. So we stayed in Salt Lake City. So Salt Lake City from Park City is like a 45, 50 minute drive.
Okay. So that does make more sense. So where your accommodation was an Airbnb, it was a B&B. So,
yeah.
So you had a hike, so you couldn't get out, roll, and just even a 30 minute walk, like that's doable. No. Like this is not, I had to drive. Okay.
Yeah, so we had to, and a lot of people had to do that. I mean, because you can't even do it. Like a lot of people we knew, they booked 2 months ahead of time, and they still had to stay in Salt Lake City.
Right.
So, you know, you want to try to book it a year in advance. But to get back to like the Uber and stuff, so you wouldn't get drivers. Like drivers did not want to make that drive from Park City down to Salt Lake City. And it was like always, like one guy pulled me, dude, pissed me off so bad. We had to wait 15 minutes for him to even get there. And it's cold as hell. Now it's cold as hell outside now too. Now the Park City, this is in the mountains. So if y'all don't know anything about Utah, Park City is like a huge ski resort. It's like, it's high in elevation. It's like 3,600 square feet. Not square, it's 3,600 meters. Square feet. 3,600 meters. And it's high. So you know, when you get up there, you have to, first of all, catch your breath and stuff. You got to drink plenty of water, because you got people drinking alcohol, so blacking out on the street because they're not used to that high elevation. So, but it's cold as hell. Like literally, so you got to wait outside for more than 10 minutes.
It's already cold as hell. It's damn, and it's
January. Yes. Yeah. You're freezing your behind off. So we waited 15 minutes for just one driver to pull up. And he pulls up and he's like, he said, where are you going? I was like, what do you mean where I'm going? You accepted a trip?
I was like, I'm going
to Salt Lake City. Yeah. And he was like, no, man. He was like, I can make more money doing trips around here than driving all the way down to Salt Lake City. And I'm like, well, I guess you're just disregarding the tip that I would potentially give you. But I was like, oh, okay.
And I respect that, but don't accept it.
Yes.
You know, I respect the fact like that you're making money and you're not making money unless you're making pickups and drop-offs. Totally fine with that. But don't be rolling up to the guy and be like, sorry.
You got me waiting, right? You got me waiting. I wait for you. You pull up and then you be like,
No, I'm not. That's bad juju, man.
So then I had somebody else do that to us.
That's weak sauce.
He accepted it and he started making all these loops around Park City. And I was like, are you okay? It's like, it's cold as hell outside. I'm like, and by this time, this was the day before we were leaving. It was like, no, it was two days, the day before. So it was like on Saturday. It was like freezing outside, pouring down snow. And you can't go wait inside of a venue for the Uber to come. You got to wait outside. It's cold as hell outside. Right. Oh, so God, he kept looping and looping.
And
looping.
You're from Georgia, baby.
Yeah. Like,
you're
like, and I texted him. He didn't respond to the text message. So I called him. He ignored the call and everything. So I was like, you fucker. So I ended up canceling. This is where I found out about how much Lyft was going. There's price gouging.
Right. Yeah.
So I was like, okay, let me see if Lyft have anybody available. Lyft has somebody available in 5 minutes. So the trip for Uber,
right,
$60.
Right.
Guess how much trip for Lyft was.
Now, just because I've somewhat experienced this a little bit, when you're at an event like that, it gets off the chain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna throw a C note. 100.
Yeah. Oh, more than that.
Yeah.
So it was 165.
Yeah. That's not, that's absurd, but not surprising. Yeah.
What's crazy was, and he was there in five minutes. Yeah. Like he was legitimately there in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But then the thing that pissed me off, because you're price gouging, at the end of the trip, you're talking about, like, you want to give a tip. No, I don't mind tipping you anything.
Yeah.
You got to go fight with Lyft over that one.
Yeah.
Because you're out here price gouging for this event. I'm like, and I know you're price gouging because Uber is charging 60. And
I don't know. I wonder, is the driver's fault or Lyft?
It's Lyft.
It's Lyft itself, yeah. Right? Yeah. Okay.
But I'm like, but then what's really funny about it is, which one I knew the drivers would get more money, because when they show up, they got both the Lyft and Uber signs in their car.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So they're taking the Lyft rides and they're declining the Uber rides.
It's, if again, Side note, if you want to do a documentary on Uber and Lyft and just their business practices and how they started. And it's, woo.
Yeah.
That's a weird one.
But Uber was good at first, but until Uber started realizing people was getting actual living off of Uber, and they decided to want to take half of it.
Right. And then and they're not employees.
Right.
And there's a lot to those companies that are just kind of shady. But that being said, the surge pricing and everything else, gotta expect it, I guess.
I was not to that degree. Now when I see one thing is $55-$60 for a trip, and then I go look at yours and it's $165 to over $200.
That whole price model is just weird. It just it bugs me. I understand it, but I don't know. I got whacked. Did you take a Uber from your flight? My Uber, and then I was screwed. I got in at 10 o'clock when I just flew in end of December. My Uber is $150.
Yeah, so
from the airport, that's not an event.
So the beautiful thing about, I guess, the people I meet. So I met one guy last time we came back from Vegas in LA. Real nice dude. He had just came here from Seattle, Washington.
Yeah.
So his wife, I'm not even gonna put a business out there, but his wife works down here. Now she transferred down here.
Okay.
And so they just upped the family up and came down here because he's a driver back in Seattle. So he's I can drive anywhere. That's where your job want to take you to. I'm supporting you. I'm gonna be there with you, and I can just drive in Atlanta.
Sure.
So I met this guy, real cool, and we ended up exchanging numbers. So he's my personal driver now.
Well, that's the way to do it.
He's my personal driver. So he was like, if you need to go anywhere, text me, I can pick you up.
It's such we're going on a sidebar, but it's just such a weird thing where I'm trying to analyze the good and the good, the bad, and there's a lot of ugly involved with Uber and Lyft.
Mm-hmm.
And just understanding, all right, I get the idea of hey man, if I want to give you a ride, give me $50 to drive anywhere. Cool.
Yeah.
Anyone wants to do that? So, there's a lot of parallels to Airbnbs too. But just there's just so shady. If I want to rip on somebody, aside from your experience, I'll rip on Lyft and Uber, but not the driver. I respect the driver.
No, because he's trying to make a living.
But I just the whole surge pricing thing, the way they do those things, it's just so sketchy.
Now we did have one bad driver, and I would fight him in the streets right now. He picked us up in a Saturn View.
Wow.
You already know. So those are dudes that don't know. Woo. Saturns don't exist anymore.
Right.
They don't exist
anymore. For a reason.
Yeah. I should have canceled it. My wife wanted me to cancel it. I didn't cancel it. I should have canceled it. So he put this up in a Saturn View.
Yeah, wind it up.
Defrost didn't work. I already told you it's cold as hell outside. Defrost didn't work. He had to roll his windows down just to even see his rearview mirrors, his side mirrors. Then, we were in the mountains. We're coming out of the mountains. This dude's doing 100. So I told this guy, I was like, hey, man.
In a Saturn?
Yes, in a Saturn. I was like, hey, man,
your bike down.
Do you think you can slow down? I'm like, we're coming through mountains and it's snowing outside. Do you think you can slow down a little bit? He slowed down for a little bit and sped back up.
Right.
So I was like, I can't whip his ass. Because if I whip his ass, we all die.
Right.
So I was like,
hold on to something.
Yeah, I was like, I'm gonna take this one. And I'm going to do my normal thing. I'm going to tear him up in reviews, which I sure enough did. And I reported him to doggone Uber. And I was like, I hope you get kicked off of this doggone F.
Even the first, again, I'll throw him a little rope where, your driver, it's about fares.
Yeah.
It's about picking up, dropping off. So I understand, booking it. I have a lead foot myself.
I understand,
hey, man, you want to get to where you're going. I'm like, all right. But if your fare says, dude, you're kind of freaking me out here, just to ease off a little bit, and then you don't give a rat's ass, you keep on going, all right, now you can suck it.
Yeah.
That's one of those things.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I get going from point A to point B.
Yeah.
But you coming down a mountain and you making all of us uncomfortable, and you're doing 100, and it's like a straight downhill, you're doing turns, and you're doing 100. I'm like, even I, and I'm a former street racer, I don't do that with other people in the car. I do it with myself, but I don't do it with other people in the car.
Right.
I'm
Again, and then even if I unconsciously, old habits die hard, right?
Yeah.
You're in a car and I'm booking, and say, yours, man, dude, you're kind of going like, oh, so sorry, man.
Yeah, slow down.
That's all it takes. You just got a quick ask. And when we say, Sorry, it's her, Antonio. The fuck you. This, yeah. This is how I go.
And y'all people in Utah, y'all driving, y'all are terrible drivers, which is probably why some of y'all migrated down here and why our streets are so messed up half the time because of accidents. Because I thought
we did a whole episode of Atlanta traffic.
We did.
It fascinates me. It really does. Being from Jersey, New York area, like the different how like people drive is, it really is regional.
I thought it was bad. Like I thought, I've been to other countries and I've seen terrible driving.
Because like all right, like DC, New York, Chicago, Atlanta, those are like four big cities that all have bad traffic, and they're different for different. They're bad traffic for different reasons.
Yeah.
What's the deal in saying Salt Lake? This stuff just driving nuts and just fascinates me.
So New York and Jersey, you know, y'all get up on people, y'all start blazing horns.
Oh yeah, tailgating.
Yeah,
you're tailgating.
You blazing the freaking horn.
There's a good thing because everyone, you are 10-2 in it.
Yeah,
you gotta be on. You hold on a swivel.
So people know Salt Lake City is not. I mean, it's heavily populated, but it ain't heavily populated. They don't have traffic like we have down here. Mm-hmm. One guy drove us when we first got there. He took us to downtown Seattle, and we had something to eat. He was like, they would have road rage to where they would start shooting at each other from road rage incidents. And I was like, dude, this beautiful terrain out here. I was like, why are y'all killing each other in this majestic environment? I was like, why? Then I started seeing the driver. So fortunately for us, it was a quiet night. So he wasn't running up on people. The next day, when we got an Uber driver, they were lit. Look, they were probably about a meter, not even a meter, a full foot away from hitting somebody, from slamming on their brakes every single time. Like, it didn't matter who we got in the car with.
So that's the land of the brake check.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, they will fly, and then before you even get to the light, wait until the last minute to even tap the brakes to stop. Every single time. So much so, we're in the car with this guy driving Uber. Now, Uber has, not Uber, I mean driving Tesla. So I don't know if you all know about Tesla. Tesla, like most new cars, has proximity alarms.
Right.
It lets you know when you're getting too close to somebody or somebody's getting too close to you.
In fact, they have a setting for even just lanes.
Yeah.
Now, never mind like the car in front of you, car behind you, or the right. Like if there's a painted lane, a friend of mine has a problem with that because they have to make, you know, that turning lane to get into their complex, but it's painted white. And it won't let them, like, literally.
No. Right, because they have the program lane assist on there to where to keep you inside of the lane.
Right.
And it's really to prevent, like, if you start falling asleep and you start drifting over, it helps you get your car back stable.
There's a reason for it.
Yeah. This dude was, he was okay driver, but he still was like flying Tesla. You know, you don't have to press hard on Tesla to make it go. And every time he would have to slam on his brakes, he did it at the wrong time. I'm sitting in the front seat with him. We're like a mile away from Park City.
Tesla got mad at him?
No. So we're a mile away from Park Lake City. He's flying up the street. He finally sees a car in front of him and starts slowing down. But if you're moving at a high rate of speed, everybody's riding everybody's bumper and they tell, guess what happened? We got rear-ended.
Yeah.
We got rear-ended by this big Ford GMC.
That wins.
Not a Ford, but a GMC truck. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
smashed
between those two cars, like
it's smashed up his back end. Matter of fact, when I was sitting there, Allstate was calling me because he had to report to the insurance company.
Yeah, celebrity death match. Yeah, I'm going on the GMC.
And I saw it happen. I'm an observant driver, so I'm always looking at other people's like mirrors and stuff. So he was flying. I was like, oh man, this is not gonna be good. Because I looked in his rear view. Again, it's snowing outside. I look in his rear view and I see the truck on our tail. And when he slammed on his brake, I was like, yep, here it comes. And sure enough, boom. I was like, everybody in the back, my sister, my wife in the backseat, they jumping up because it gets knocked forward.
Right.
So I was like, fortunately enough, y'all, the frames are good. I guess it's like the same as like the Volkswagen. So if you drive a Volkswagen, if you ever get hit in a Volkswagen,
Volkswagen
has the best frames. Yeah. The Jettas, even the Beetles, they have like the best frame of cars to keep you safe.
Yeah.
So, we were okay physically not like bleeding or injured.
I didn't realize
we got shook up, which I have to address that with Allstate.
Oh man, that sucks. Like insurance already sucks, and like I wouldn't even drive, it's not even my car.
Yeah.
Now you have to deal with that crap.
Yeah, because he had to report it to insurance
company. Oh yeah, I mean,
forget the insurance company said, was anybody in the car? He's like, yeah, somebody was in the car, you know. And so now they gotta take my information because now I gotta talk to him.
All right.
But yeah, y'all people in Utah, y'all can't drive for shit.
Well, it's so funny. Like, again, it's the tailgate thing, but no one's paying attention. This is the one thing about Jersey and New York. It's just aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's your tailgate. anything, but everyone knows it. So you gotta be, you know, on, you know, on your game, or like, you know, versus like you know, West Coast, usually it's like everyone's on a pop brownie and they're just like, yeah, like,
yeah, and
not aware. Like, oh, I'll just like just lazily move over. Oh, you're there, then you'll get out of the way.
And I don't get the whole dipping in and out of track. Again, I used to street race. One thing I knew
all the not, weave? You're talking about the
yeah,
weave?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. One thing I did not ever do, even in my street racing days, if I'm going through mountains, is cut in and out of corners right. coming through mountains. Because one thing, if you're an experienced driver, one thing you would know is if you can't see around a corner, don't do something stupid because you could potentially yeah. meet somebody on the other end that you don't expect to meet there. Same thing with going over hills. Like, this is like car 101. You don't try to pass somebody going up a hill because you don't know what's coming over the top of it.
Right.
These fools. They loved, they was testing life. Life was a journey for them, and they were really trying to see how far they could go with it.
I mean, I'm an aggressive driver, and like I'm all the things that, you know, I will pass on the right.
Yeah.
Because if I'm passing on the right, that means you're going too slow on the left.
Yeah.
That's your fault. Yeah. You know, that's your fault. But like the whole weaving, like you're not saying, like science even says you're not saving any time. You no. know, so it's not worth it. And meanwhile,
you're speeding to get to a red light. We're all going to meet you when you get there.
Yeah, and it just yeah, and not only that, like the thing that pisses me off is that not only you're not getting an accident, you're causing an accident behind you.
Yeah.
You know, especially that truck that you're in that blind spot, you don't give a rat's ass.
No. So.
But yeah, so that means
the experience overall was good though. I mean, I did get burnt out. Y'all don't know me. My introvert started kicking in. So after day number four, I was like, I'm done with people.
I was kind of curious too. Like, you know, you kind of alluded to like comparing it to Vegas, where Vegas, no one needs to do more than 3 days of Vegas.
Yeah.
People think, oh, week long. No. I don't care. If you're a drinker. I don't care if you're a gambler or not. Yes, no, whatever it is. 3 days is all you need of Vegas yeah. at a time. There's so like, what is like, unless you're a complete cinephile.
Yeah.
I get into that's fine where you just can't get enough at school. But for the average Joe, I mean, I think the Vegas rule about, you know, three and a half days.
Well, it depends on what you come in there for.
Yeah.
So if you have events that you want to get to, I would say stick to those events and then go back to your room and detox. Because, I mean.
What do you mean by detox? Like, is this detox from the public yet? You just,
from people, yeah.
From the encounters? Okay.
Yeah, because it's. And I'm not a talkative person like that. I mean, when you start talking to me, I am.
Yeah.
But if I'm not seeking out the conversation like everybody else, because everybody else there had an agenda. But if you're just coming there to, like, I met this one older lady that was there, a sweet, sweet old lady too. And like we were the only people that she even talked to. Mm-hmm. Like she came and started talking to me, but she's been filming docuseries since she was like since 89. She's an old lady. I'm sorry, she's a seasoned person. Very sweet, beautiful, seasoned person. She really was. Yeah. And she's but she was coming in just for the movies. She said, I'm not here to do any networking. I'm coming here to look at the movies and stuff that's being featured, and then I'm going home. Like, she's from Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, okay.
So I was messing with her. I was like, yes, man. First of all, you come talk to me and you had a wine. So
I was like, you got one for me?
Yeah, I was like, talk to me. You didn't bring some wine my way.
That seems aggressive, though. Like, even as a movie guy, like, the whole point, like, I can watch that movie anytime I want. It's going to come out.
No, because some of these people, they're featuring them at Sundance. Not all of them get a chance to get published.
Okay, like distribution. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I respect. That's interesting.
Yeah, because it's for independent filmmakers.
Well, I didn't think about that. You're right.
So a lot of stuff you will never get a chance to see. It's just being featured there.
Yeah, it is. It is a sale game.
Yeah.
Like I said, Kevin Smith. You know, I remember the story of him like going out there and like them writing a check for it.
Mm-hmm.
So they need someone else to distribute it. I didn't think about that. That's interesting.
So to me, if you know why you're going, and you have, because they tell you who's going to be there at all the events and stuff. Right. So the day we were leaving, I wish I had known it because I would have pushed my day out a little bit longer. Ryan Coogler and Steph Curry was actually there presenting the film they were doing at the Macro Lodge where we've been hanging out the whole time, where I met all of my contacts at. And it was the day we were flying out is the day that Ryan Coogler was doing his film there and Steph Curry was doing his.
Okay. I remember, what you know what they're about? That was a documentary too, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
I can't remember the NFL guys. There's a couple of NFL guys that a few years ago did a whole thing on the homeless. It was fascinating, where they actually lived as homeless, and it was an interesting. It was very interesting. And I don't know how these two huge, 6'8", 350-pound guys passed as homeless, but they did it.
You'd be surprised.
But it's interesting. So let's break down like who goes to these things. So you're talking about like the, you know, the sweet old lady that just wants to watch movies that make that's the only chance to watch these movies. You're an engineer and just love the audio thing, making like interesting on how learning how these people do their jobs. There's the people that want to make contacts.
Yeah.
There's strictly network.
Yeah.
Who else is out there?
So you got independent filmmakers. Mm-hmm. You have those that seeking like trying to get funding for movies. Then you have people that's looking for staff. So you want people there trying to find this script supervisor, like what my wife does, and people that's going to looking for producers, directors, anybody that's good with videography. Then you have like those that are there just for the film. Then you have the fan nuts because they want to come out and see their favorite actor or actress.
I'm saying that's the one we haven't touched on. Like the panels, we're like, I love this, you know, I can't wait for this movie. And then just, you know, go up there for the fans.
Because because we end up meeting. I know people will be, it's controversial, but I don't care. I like Tiffany Haddish.
Okay.
So we went to. So all this stuff is localized. So we went to an Audacity event because Audacity was like the place that you could hang out in between stuff, because it was like an open lounge. It was really like a lounge area. So if you want to just come and chill out a little bit, listen to some music or whatever, talk to some people, you can go to Audacity. And then, so we went to Audacity one night because Macro Lodge was freaking full. And the line was wrapped around the goddamn corner. And so, shout out to you. So, you know, I will say this. I do like my energy that I give off because I get to meet some of the great people. So I met some of the bouncers that was there, the security. Yeah. And security got cool.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So the security was telling me about stuff that was coming up. They was like, man, hey, this is, so whenever I saw the security walk around, security was dapping me up. And it was like, hey man, you know, what's going on with you? What you getting into? Tell me what you doing. You didn't check out so far. But yeah, so they told me about it. The minute was coming up, but we didn't get there early enough. So they ended up filling up. So we left there and was like, let's go over to Audacity. And then, you know, just not Audacity, but Audible. Go to Audible and let's just go hang out, grab a drink. So they had an event there for their staff. And for other just regular people just to show up in there, but really primarily for the Audible staff that was there. So we go in there.
That's a kind of my people. Our people.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah. So we're in there having drinks and we just trying to just warm up a little bit. Next thing I know, well, all of us know, freaking Tiffany Haddish on the ones and twos, and she up there rapping and singing a song. And I was like, oh, shucks. I was like, where the hell got Tiffany Haddish come from? I didn't even see her coming to the room. I was like, where did she come from?
She materialized.
And so she saw us, and so she kind of got to smiling. And then when she jumped off the stage, we all just started laughing and talking and taking pictures and
That's
stuff.
That's awesome, man.
So she was going, I understand Tiffany Haddish and the controversy. I don't know if you know about the controversy behind Tiffany. Do you know who Tiffany Haddish is?
Barely.
So she's comedian. She's a big comedian. Okay. So she got into it. So what happened with her was,
an Amy Schumer thing or
it was with a kid.
Okay. I don't know anything about this.
So when she was first getting started, she made this skit with this other comedian. He's a big comedian, but he does like skits and stuff.
Okay.
And they had a kid featured, they had two kids featured in this skit. And they were doing some real derogatory things and making like sexual innuendos and stuff. And he was coming out with the kid and he had like his little tidy whities on and the kid was, so it was real terrible. It was terrible. She shouldn't have made it, especially but I guess at the time.
How long ago was this?
This was like way before her career blew up. And that's why I give her the benefit of the doubt. It was probably about 15 years ago.
Oh, okay. Like, that's why, again, I'm lame and I recognize the name, but nothing.
Yes, I gave her the benefit of the doubt. And I'm like, well, I understand you're trying to get any break that you can get.
Right.
And then you get this guy that already is popular. He might not be on like the big comedian levels, but he still is popular.
Right.
And he wants to do a skit. You probably be like, yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and do the skit. Now, hindsight, you probably like, God damn, I should have did that. And that's what she is, because now once it came out and people they showed it, they was like, you know, you sexualizing kids, you know, this guy looking like a pedophile. And I mean, she caught all kind of backlash from it.
That's so a weird thing. Like when you look at like past mistakes,
mm-hmm.
past mistakes, I don't know, like that's the right word. But like you look at, you know, the looking at the history of comedy and like looking at comedians and what they've said, what they've done, and like, ooh, like how inappropriate and how awful it was. Like, I just like, I get what like she's coming from. Like, right here is a perfect example of like, dude, she's just trying to make a career.
Yeah.
I get it's inappropriate, but you know, she's not doing it today, is she? Like, this was 15 years ago. Like,
okay. Yeah.
You know, that like Eddie Murphy Raw, I was talking to someone about this, it was one of the best hours in comedy in the history of comedy. Mm-hmm. And there's some messed up shit that he's talking about.
Oh. Yeah.
And even he, but again, even he says, man, I did some pretty rough stuff. Like, yeah. I shouldn't have, you know, like, that's awful. I would never say that today. That's kind of almost all you should have to do.
Yeah. You know, it's, they have the council movement going on. And so they were trying to get her canceled. So, I mean, I guess for her too, it was almost like a breath of fresh air to see people that weren't there trying to talk down to her, which is a celebrator with her. And I'm not to say that, you know, it was okay for her to do what she did. Cause I mean, you know, as an adult anyway, you should be like, I'm just not going to do that.
Yeah.
But I get, then again, I can see both sides of it. You're trying to get to a place that you want to be as successful.
Right.
So you see an opportunity. So, you know, you kind of throw out some of the things that you would, you know, you let your guard down a little bit, like, you know, it's not that good, but I'm gonna go ahead and do it so I can get my name out there.
I mean, that's a vulnerable place. Like,
yeah.
For anyone in comedy, like, again, I love a great book. It's called The Comedians, actually. If anyone wants, that's a book recommendation. We should do one of those every week about the history of comedy and mm-hmm. trying to come up, like doing clubs, the grind of trying to become a success. And so, like, I have a lot of empathy for anyone who's like, especially in this position where like, it's not even her skit, right?
No, it wasn't even her.
So like, she got invited, like you just say, just yes.
Yeah.
You said the beginning of like, anything comics career, like they'll tell you like, beginning, you just say yes to everything.
Now dude, all, wrote like, it.
Well, do it. So
the dude that wrote it, he need everything that came with his way, yeah. But she didn't write it.
Right.
And, like, she was just there to be in it.
And there's levels, I call it cancel culture, and that's good. It's a good, interesting discussion, but like, that's this type of thing when you look back and those, like, you don't retroactively erase things. Just be like, you know, like, if I, you just have that attitude of you know, vulnerable position, just trying to start out. You say yes to everything. I was just trying to make rent.
Right.
that's really all you should have to do.
And I still, and even with me saying that though, it shows you how accessible these stars, these actors and actresses are. So I'm like, that's why I encourage if you have, I'm not one for beating your heroes, because if you meet your hero, you're going to sometimes be disappointed. But if that's what you want to go and do, is just meet these famous people, just to meet them and take pictures, that's another reason to go to saying, you got to pay for a ticket in a hotel, and you can do it.
Is there, would you, like, you did it on the kind of the short end, like, then we go back to like your process of like, all right, it was about a month and a half ago you booked the thing.
That's uh-huh.
cool. Hey, man, you got there, it's old. Is there, would there be like a value to like super planning a year in advance mm-hmm. and being able to just, like, you had Uber problems, right?
Yeah.
And finding, even if it's more expensive accommodations, to be able to get out of your accommodation and walk there. You know, you have to pay a premium for that, but also you're not.
Yeah.
It might be worth a premium, and also you're saving, you know, Uber money.
Well, I mean, like with anything, right? Though, it won't be as much because you're booking it ahead of time.
Right.
So they only start price gouging you for the rooms once they start getting filled up to capacity.
Okay.
So you can, well, for me, I'm a Hilton member, so shout out to Hilton. I don't have to pay for nothing. Well, I mean, I paid the annual membership, but I don't have to pay for nothing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, with anything, if you're trying to plan to go somewhere, especially during peak season, like with spring break and summer, do it a year.
Anything.
Just do it a year ahead of time. Because I'm like, if you definitely know you want to go there, because I mean, I guess you know, you're trying to decide on spring or summer break, you necessarily know sometimes. You know you want to go somewhere, not anywhere specifically. This is always in Park City. So if you decide you want to go to Sundance, you know it's going to be in the same place like, every goddamn year. Like
we know the address. Yeah. Like, it's
been there so for, you can just go ahead and years, just try to find a hotel around the Park City area before they get booked up.
Yeah, so I'm a fan. Like when I leave town, like I'm fairly miserly when it comes to my money. Like, all right, you know, I'll eat on the cheap, but I leave town, I get on a plane, it's on.
Well, that's okay. Like, so
let's go ahead and swipe that card.
That's another perk. Okay, there's another perk, and it's a downside to that perk, but there's another perk. So one thing I'm gonna say the downside first, I didn't know about Utah because of the freaking Mormons.
you didn't know that? Okay.
I didn't know that.
That's
alcohol is measured. Like, is legally measured. So you don't get the free pour that you get like here in Georgia. You know, you depend on who your bartender is, but you can get all the way chocolate wasted. But then in Utah, everything is measured to a T.
Okay.
Like it is literally measured to a T. And if they go above that, they get in trouble for it.
Wow. All right, because like there's been variations of that. Like South Carolina up until recently was like the last holdout for the mini bottle law. Uh-huh. Yeah, for those who don't know, it used to be in South Carolina where there was no big bottles.
Uh-huh.
Every drink was was an airplane bottle.
Oh no.
Every drink, like in the state of South Carolina, it's very recent, like less than 8 years ago where they took this away. Where so if you ordered like a Long Island iced tea, I know people have heard of that. People that don't know, it's like a little vodka, a little gin, there's a little triple sec. There's about four or five different ones. And different liquors. And so when they're making this, now they have to use the entire mini bottle. So this is now it's like a $50 drink instead of just a quarter ounce of everything. You have to use the entire thing. Now, so what you're saying there is that how is this measured? So why is it measured so much?
We just had a camera. The camera just went out, but it's okay. We're still talking.
You're welcome. I think it was me doing this.
No, it's just the camera just probably just died.
Okay.
But so
like what is how do they measure? It's like the jigger pour type stuff.
Yeah, so they actually do have. I'll put it on you. They actually do have like a machine that's hooked up to the actual liquor itself.
Okay.
Now, I was messing with one girl. With a bartender, because we were laughing. She's like, "Where are you from?" And I was like, "Atlanta." She's like, "Okay." And so I was like, "You know what?" I said, "I know a way around this." And she was like, she started laughing. She was like, "What?" Because my first night, this is how I found it. My first night, I had ordered like two margaritas. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Why are these margaritas?" I'm like, "This just seems so weak." And then I was like, "You know what? Maybe it's just how they're making it." I ordered Long Island because my Long Island is my go-to drink.
So, again, Long Island has four different liquors.
Yes.
And then sweet and sour and Coke.
Yes.
People don't know.
I felt nothing after the first one. And I have a high tolerance, but I still felt nothing after the first one. So I was like, this is weird. So I ordered the second one and I still felt.
How much are they?
It was $14.
It's still $14. Oh, God.
So I ordered the second one and I was like. I was like, this is. So I asked her, I said, this is weird. I was like, are they putting alcohol in this? And that's when she finally told me that it's small amounts and it's measured.
So is it, all right, I'm like, again, bartender here. I just, are they limiting like the amount of alcohol that's allowed in a drink itself? Is that what it is? It's like just like every drink, no matter what you order, that your drink can only have X amount of alcohol, you know? Is that what the problem is? Is it, or is it where I'm fascinated by this. Like,
yes.
So like, I assume that's what it is. Because again, Mormons, it's actually kind of amazed me that you were able to get a drink because they're so anti-alcohol. But I gotta assume it's just like, they are limiting the total amount of alcohol possible in the glass that you order.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's my
loophole to it.
It's Mormons. Yeah, we know why. Just like I just want to know what the rule is. You know, kind of like the South Carolina mini bottle. Like, all right, you have to use mini bottles. What? That sounds weird. Okay, and you figure all the weird problems that come to the front when you have that kind of law. I'm kind of curious about the same thing here.
So what I ended up doing was. I end up getting shots.
Of course.
So I was like, so can I get a shot? And she said, yeah, you can get a shot.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. So I said, what's stopping me from getting a shot? And just putting it in my glass. She said, well, typically they don't allow you to get shots with the same liquor that was, I'm sorry. Yeah, we had a camera. I don't know what's hell's going on with the camera. But they don't typically allow the, liquor, the same liquor that's going into the alcohol as a shot. But she said, what we can do is, this is a loophole. So she said, we can give you a shot for one of your friends and let them have the shot. And she was like, you know, but you got plenty of friends around here, right? I said, oh, I absolutely do. So she gave me some shots. Yeah, mixing the alcohol.
It's such a weird, like, that's such a weird thing. Like, all right, like. Like so you couldn't order a shot. Like you could, like if they
I could.
If you ordered a shot, that's all you're allowed, right? Like a shot of vodka.
Yeah. So I would.
Oh yeah, the microphone's over here.
Yeah. So it would have to be it would have to be a different alcohol. So whatever alcohol went into the mixed drink that made me, I could get a it would have to be a shot for a different alcohol that did not go into the drink they gave me.
All right. So, all right. I'm going to break that. Again, this is the type of stuff that's fascinating. Like, for example, like it's like South Carolina, mini bottle law. That's a problem. Because you need a quarter ounce for vodka, quarter ounce gin, quarter ounce whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So eventually you get your 2 ounces of liquor. And so that's how a free pour works. But if you're doing mini bottles, that means you're getting 5 mini bottles of booze.
Right.
And so what they call it like split 5 ways, whatever it is. So like they'll have, like give me a Long Island in 5 ways, which is that means everyone gets an actual legit. There's actually 5 liquors.
Oh no, I don't know about that.
Yeah,
I don't
so that. Yeah. So like for you to make your Long Island, like the real Long Island in Utah, you'd have to order a shot, like 4 shots of booze.
Yes. To get the equivalent of what I typically in every other
so
place.
You need like, hey, 3 friends, come here. All right, I've got the vodka. You get the gin. Yeah. You get the triple sec. Yep. And then you just like order us like a little small side of sweet sour and Coke, and then give me 1 glass on the side as well.
Empty. Yeah. It was crazy. So I was like, you know what? Don't worry about it. But you know, not to say that you can't have a lot of drinks, but the one thing that, like I said, the good part about
you're gonna have to.
Like, yeah. The good part about
there's still Sundance Virgin is Long Island.
Wherever you go for the events, alcohol is free. Like they're serving up drinks everywhere. Okay. Like they have drinks. So you really don't even have to pay for food per se, because they're serving drinks and hors d'oeuvres everywhere you go. Like unlimited amounts. Like there is no
stop. Oh, wow. Okay. But it is all inclusive, and you just want, and it's for everyone.
It's free, yeah.
For free. Like, so yeah. Don't worry. Okay.
Like,
that's just the first and second tier guys are actually paying money. Like, everyone can get
every, yeah. Everywhere you go, they have specific drinks that the bartenders make. But you still, as long as the alcohol is there, they can make it for you. So you get there to the event, and it's like you can go to the bartender and get whatever the hell you want. Like, literally whatever you want. As long as they have the alcohol there, they'll give it to you. So I was drinking vodka cranberries. Audible the night before the drink, the event I met Denai Guerrero and a couple other people, and Jeremy Kleiner. I was drinking, I'm a big wine drinker, so I like Cabernet Sauvignon. It's like my go-to wine when I do drink right now. So I was drinking unlimited amounts of Cabernet Sauvignon. And yes, I mean, and then like, when I was at Macro Lodge, best drink I've had, let me I can do this on the camera. Best drink I've had the whole time I was there, like the very first, I don't do a lot of sweet drinks, but this one, when we first got it, because it's so cold outside, they did a hot chocolate, they did a s'mores hot chocolate with tequila. When I tell you I've never had this combination before, that was so freaking good.
I can't tell if I don't know what to say about that. I'm not a tequila guy, so, but go ahead.
No, that was...
Sell me on this.
Okay, we back. Technical difficulty.
Yeah, unfortunately, you just tell me about an awesome drink that you'll never know about. Just
so
real quick, what's this s'mores thing?
The best drink I had was a s'mores, like a hot chocolate. Like they literally, he did hot chocolate with tequila, mixed that all up, and then he took the marshmallows and like fire roasted the marshmallows with like a burner, and then set it over the top of the actual coffee mug itself, and then you just put the marshmallows inside the hot chocolate because it was so hot, and it started to melt down. The best drink I've had there the whole. I mean, they had some. The best one I've had the whole. And I'm not a big chocolate person. Mm-hmm. Hot chocolate. That was great.
Well, I'll say that the tequila kind of was. Tequila seems like a weird thing to go in there. Like, I can understand bourbon, I can understand like whiskey, whatever it is, even vodka, but like tequila seems like an odd thing. We all have that sad story of whatever liquor it is. Like, some people can't drink bourbon anymore. That one time with gin, mine's tequila. Like,
but you wouldn't, you wouldn't taste it in there because of hot chocolate.
But I'm willing to try.
Yeah. That was the one lady said, I went to one event, it was at this restaurant called The Cabin. And we were telling her about it, and she was like, she said, so were you dancing on the table? I was like, nah, man. I was like, because you really didn't taste tequila. It ain't like a margarita or something.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't taste it. You hardly tasted tequila at all. Like, you felt it. And I guess it was like a spiced tequila, too. but you really tasted the hot chocolate.
Yeah.
And but you knew it was in there. And it was good as hell. Oh my God, it was good as hell.
Again, like we're not in college anymore. Like no. That the whole it doesn't matter what's in front of me. It's not like it's because I was an idiot asshole 20-year-old drinking tequila, not because it was the tequila.
Right.
Like that's so, you know, like
I mean, but yeah, like I said, but to wrap it up, yeah. If you go, you have unlimited amount of drinks that you can get, and there's the s'mores. I mean, not s'mores, but food that you can get everywhere you go. You can get food everywhere you go. So they have hors d'oeuvres everywhere, and so it's, you know, you can eat all night long and get full.
Okay. Like all right. So let's budget this thing real quick. But before, I know we're wrapping up, but like, all right. So you got to fly there.
Yeah.
Wherever you're at, that's on you. What would you say is a reasonable amount without writing out that first tier, second tier, which free rolling in Sundance?
Like total cost?
Yeah. How much you think? Like, you know, like for accommodations, X amount, and then the daily whatever expenses you got to buy. They got to buy the T-shirt, right? Mm-hmm. I went to Sundance. Dance and everything else.
I didn't do that.
Or whatever trinket. Whatever
yeah.
But like, you know, you're saying the food's free, and so really, it sounds like the biggest expense was actually like the Uber.
Yeah. So you can rent a car. I just want to go through the hassle trying to find parking while I was there.
Right.
Because I actually thought about it. Because y'all got to get memberships. I'm an Avis, a business class member, right. So I can get my cars pretty cheap. And I mean, the cost I spent for Uber, I paid two times of what I could have gotten for a rental car.
And if you're gonna have a beer in your hand. Like I would, like if I'm on vacation, yeah. It's on. Uber's the way to go. However, even if I'm
and then convenience
couch.
Too,
yeah,
because you're there with so many people, it's trying to find parking.
Yeah,
and then once you find parking and you've been drinking, it's like it's been a long day. It's getting into your car and trying to drive back. So like we were heading to Salt Lake City, so you're trying to drive another 50 minutes back in the middle of the night.
And so you're even saying right now, like almost renting a car, even if you want to go that route, really isn't a real option, anyways.
No,
it's just not. It's just gonna even if you did that, like yeah.
It's an inconvenience.
Yeah, you wouldn't. It's not really feasible anyway.
That's why. So two ways you could pay for it. Two ways to do it as far as cost goes. If you wait 6 months in and you got to go in before 6 months before it start, and you got to stay in Salt Lake City, I guess it will benefit you to rent a car. So we're talking about transportation. Rent a car, drive close to the venue, park, and take an Uber there. Because okay. The Uber going from that spot where the car is at would be like $10.
That's a point. That's a good point. Okay.
Flight? Nah, it depends on how you want to fly.
And then we're talking about Atlanta, but if you're coming from New York, Atlanta, Chicago, to Dallas, I mean, this just be different for everybody.
You know? Yeah, so if you want to play just a straight trip going to and from, no stops in between, tickets going to cost you anywhere from $600,
$700. Yeah.
If you don't mind layovers, because some of my wife's friends took layovers. They had 4-hour layovers. I'm like, I'm not doing a 4-hour layover. They had 4-hour layovers, and they only paid like $150 to $200 per ticket. And then hotel, I think total cost for hotel, well, Airbnb was like $650. So you might spend about $1,500.
I would say $1,500 of the expenses of getting there and staying.
Yeah.
Is there any other, what then? So the ancillary expenses. So just getting there, staying there, taken care of. So you have to budget for while you're there from like arrival to departure. Between that, you're paying for transportation.
Yeah.
Whatever that may be.
So total cost, if you want to do it to where convenience.
Let's highball it. So like I am Ubering it. So like how much should you?
Yeah. So that's what, so that was a, so the first one, the $1,500 a low end.
Right.
Now
you're there.
Yes. So you're there, and you know you got you a place to stay, and that's the low end. Like that's really what you should expect to pay, like $1,500.
Right.
Now for a nonstop flight, and then to get a good hotel room, and then you doing Uber the whole time. You don't want to rent a car because you're gonna be there's a lot of drinking and stuff. And then it's a lot of drinking water too. So you're gonna be going to from the bathroom, you're looking to pay about $3,000. Well, you know what? No, yeah, about $3,000. Because, I mean, even if I'm thinking, if you're a single person.
We're talking single person, because again, like, then you're cutting in half. You're split. So one person doing this, because then if you have another person, all right, we're obviously splitting.
Nah, you still like, yeah, it's almost about.
So, like, figure what? Like,
it's almost $2,500.
So figure, like, every day is about, what, a buck?
We're talking about 5 days.
Yeah, like, every individual day, figure about two, if you're Ubering it. Figure, like, if you're not staying on property, you're staying, like, where you are, where you have to stay. So you're in the Salt Lake. You're probably about not even, 200 a day, right?
No, not even 200 a day. No, because that's what I was saying, because Uber was cheaper than in Lyft.
Well, I'm saying going there and going back.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's so Uber, yeah, it was about $1.25.
Okay.
Because certain days was like $53 to get there.
Okay.
And even if you tip, so let's say you even tipped and you paid the dude $60. Well, you got like $60 for the trip going to and from. So you're spending like $125 a day.
Okay. So all right. So a buck and a quarter a day.
Yeah.
And then what other expenses are there? So you're saying food and drink are taken care of?
Yeah. You don't have to go to a restaurant. I mean, you can, but you don't have to go to a restaurant. If you're not paying for a restaurant. And you want like a good experience and you got a nice hotel room because you don't want to come at trash, it's about $2,500.
Okay. So I guess I'm just thinking about like the day-to-day expenses, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, I always think of like the Disney, like for example, like Disney's pretty upfront, how much you're paying for
yeah.
to walk in the park costs X amount of dollars.
Yeah.
But then what happens from the 9 to 9 when you're there at the park? You have to pay for the hot dogs and the Cokes and then the t-shirt and all those other things. Like, what other, so you have the Uber and any of what other things you have to
pay for? Once you're there. So you can, they have restaurants up and down Main Street that you can go to.
And they're all free?
No, you have to pay for the restaurants.
Okay.
But then again, it's like, and I think that's why they give out the free hors d'oeuvres at the venues because you're waiting to get in these venues, like in these spots to the panels. So it's like, you really don't have time to go to a restaurant to sit down and eat.
Right.
So that's why they have the food that's there. So if you don't go to a restaurant, you don't have to pay anything. Like once you're there, you got unlimited amount of drinks. So it's drinks and water. So
and it's all provided nonstop?
Yeah, nonstop.
Or is it like designated from like 6 to 10?
No, it's nonstop.
Okay.
No, it's literally all day.
Okay. It is easy access.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, you're not waiting in line, constantly waiting for to get into a place that has a buffet.
I mean, once you get inside the place, they have a bar that's in there.
Okay.
And you can get as much food and as alcohol as you want inside for free.
Okay.
So only thing you gotta do is pay to get there. Once you get there, you're straight.
Oh, okay, cool. Like these are the things I'm kind of curious about. Like, so say I'm hungry. Like, yeah. Wherever I'm at, I'm in a main street. I'm hungry. How long will it take for me to get some food in my mouth?
No, somebody's coming around giving it to you.
Okay.
Yeah, somebody's literally walking around with a tray of food.
Okay.
Ask, hey, try this out. And then once they're done giving out like those snacks.
No, okay.
Then they come around with desserts.
Is it satisfying? Like, again, I'm a food guy. So, like,
Oh my God, they had this one.
Or is it like just crappy, like, you know?
No, they had this one lemon lime cheesecake bite at the Audible event. It was good as hell. Macro Lodge had Slutty Vegan the first day.
Okay.
I don't know who it was the second couple of days, but they were serving meatballs. They had like chicken sandwiches. They had sliders.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, like, again, like, just because there's food doesn't mean there's food.
It was really good.
Like, you will, if you like food and if you need a good meal, like, you kind of, you know, if you require at least something more than just, pigs in a blanket,
And I think they have to do it that way because at these events, they have and celebrities show up.
Yeah.
So how would you feel, a celebrity show up to your event?
Brad Pitt comes over.
Right. You guys look trash. Like, he's like, what is this?
That's legit.
You got to wait to get inside of these places. So you don't really have time to go into wait into a restaurant and then eat, and now you gotta hurry up to get back to the event because of the schedule.
Right, yeah. That makes sense. Like, that does make sense. Yeah, it has to be tactile, ready to go. Like, again, movies are from 30 minutes to 2.5 hours, so you can't really schedule your meal for around those things.
And you're networking the whole time,
sense.
Too.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So, I guess... So
you're endorsing Sundance for all.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I actually enjoyed myself. I didn't think I would, but I actually did enjoy myself, and I really think everybody else should go and experience it too. I mean, I think should go in and try it out for yourself.
Yeah.
And even if it's just going to like see the films,
right,
or just learn about production in general, or get some word of encouragement from these other actors and actresses or filmmakers and directors on how they got started and what they're doing and any equipment they was using, because there was a lot of people that was like, if you want to record content, just go ahead and start recording content. Like, why are you trying to wait until you get a nice camera like I have here? Yeah,
that's working amazingly,
right? Which is why it's not a camera, it was a freaking software.
It's bulletproof.
Ecamm, I don't know what the hell y'all got going on with y'all software. software, but it's the freaking software. But yeah, because everybody kept stopping me because the Sony clan was representing at Sundance because everybody was stopping everybody with Sony cameras. They was like, "Oh, you part of Sony family? Oh, you part of Sony family?" Everybody was dapping each other
up. Marketing. Wow.
And then I had mine on my little tripod, my handle tripod, like I got in my bag, and that's why I was vlogging the whole time. So it was like, "Oh, so what lens are you using?" So yeah, if you're a Sony family, you know, shout out to all the Sony people. But yes, even they were saying you don't have to have an expensive camera like that. You can just use, I mean, because your phone is expensive. It's a camera.
Yeah, that was the thing. I mean, I remember like looking up and different podcasts were just saying like, dude, if you get one of these, you got a podcast.
Yeah.
You can go.
Yeah, you don't need anything. Yeah. You don't need all the setup that we have around here. And I didn't have all this stuff when I first got started.
And once you get going and you realize the stuff you kind of want.
Yeah.
I get that. Like,
you build up to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, yes, I encourage if that's what you want to do, you want to make like stories, even if you want to tell your own personal story.
Yeah.
And you think you have, I think we all have interesting lives. I want to say if you think you have, I think we all have interesting lives. Mm-hmm. And you might be inspiration to somebody else. That's why a lot of vloggers are doing very successful. They're very successful right now. I mean, go ahead and just, you can pick up the phone and start recording yourself. Like, they have great microphones on there. So, and you can go there and then you can, you know, listen to other people that's doing it, get some ideas from them and get some tips. And, or you could potentially pitch that to some, because I want to pitch my stuff to Audible, because Audible say they're taking submissions.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a, and it, I think you're right, because I think like we're all fascinated by how it works.
Yeah,
you know, just like as a guy, you know, like I'm just fascinated. Like the bartender has to do what? Tell me. Yeah. Like as a guy, like really?
But bartender was real cool. Yeah, so all the bartenders were like, even the lady bartender was really cool, because we were laughing and joking the whole time, and we were talking about how we work around the system for me to get the buzz I was looking for.
Well, yeah, but and that's the
always because I'm like.
That's just one of those things. Like, I get like not everyone drinks. Like there's three types of drinkers, right? There's none, which is totally, all of them are cool.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then just, you know, people that like have one or two and like, oh my God, it's on. Like, yeah. And then there's just like, call them civilians and just like, I, you know, it's not nothing to be proud of, but like, all right, like I know how to order a drink and drink a drink and like,
right.
And also understand the fact that that's why I have Uber. Exactly. But, same thing. Right. I'm planning ahead. Like, hey, like, you know, this is not a daily thing. I'm on vacation. Damn it.
Yeah. And I know what I want to drink.
Give me the 3 feet of beer, whatever.
Yeah. So it's I encourage them to wrap up. Yeah, I encourage everybody to go and experience it for yourself. Just know when you go, don't try to be super cute. You can be cute with your outfit, but just understand it is cold as hell. And I've seen so many people get ready to slide and then bust their ass on the ice just out there. Like one lady was like, coming down a hill. And the same thing as hills and cars with ice on the ground. You know you don't go down a hill, especially with black ice on.
No, you don't. Like, no, hold on. Wait, I contest that. I know that you don't do that. You've been to Michigan. You actually lived in Michigan for a while. People from up north know this. Not everyone knows this.
Well, Southerners know we don't go, when it's ice outside, we know black ice is on the road. We're not getting involved with black ice.
Like, I know a bunch of Southerners, like snowpocalypse from Atlanta. Of a couple years ago, like, what's this white stuff?
We know.
What do I do?
The thing is, we laugh about that. Us Georgians, we automatically know when we see white stuff on the ground, we're staying inside of the house.
Yeah, like, don't go out ever.
The implants, which I'm sure a lot of them come from freaking Utah and every other place, they don't know that because they think that we have the equipment that everybody else has.
Oh yeah,
and securing the roads, and we don't have that.
That's exactly. Like, there's no like, if you're driving down the Jersey Turnpike, yeah. You see these like weird like brown like cone shaped buildings. That's where they keep the salt.
Yeah.
They're only north. They're like, where's those? That's for the salt. There is no salt in Georgia.
So this
there's no reason for it.
This lady was coming down this. So
not everyone else. What I'm saying.
No, she was coming down this alleyway. The main street was cleared.
Yeah. Oh, is it hilly? Is it? I guess.
Oh, it's a hill.
Okay.
Oh yeah, it's like a straight up hill.
Okay.
So she was coming down this alleyway. And it was partially clear, but it was still ice and snow on the ground. And she had a real cute outfit. It was all black. She had some like tight leather was a thing this year. She had some tight leather pants on, but she had on some high heel boots. I saw her and I was like, man, you know, she got a cute outfit. I was like, but I looked at them boots and I was like, oh, this is not gonna be good. And we just kept on walking, and sure enough, all I heard was, whoa, 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 whoa. She fell.
I love that sound.
And she caught herself, but everybody else was trying to run to make sure that, you know, she ain't, you know, bust her ass open. But she fell. I'm like, because when I saw her, she was already tiptoeing. I was like, I get you want to be cute. I understand that because you don't know who you're going to see out here. But let's be realistic about it.
Yeah.
We're in this high, these mountains. There is still snow and ice on the ground. The temperature is already below freezing. It's only like 15 degrees outside, 15, 20 degrees outside. So I'm like, hey, you can have a good outfit on, but you need some boots.
Boots. It's one of those things, like, I'm with you, like, I got to be practical to a certain degree. Because you fall and busting your ass and go ahead and, you know, ass overhead, like, that's not cute.
No.
So it's not worth it, you know?
No.
And just like there were times, like, you know, like Savannah, Georgia. I like Savannah. It has the cobblestones. Like, yeah. So don't wear heels. You can't.
Yeah. No, you cannot. Right?
Just like pro tip. So pro tip here is, like, if you're going, like, you're the proper wear, you got to wear some sneakers, some flat shoes, right?
Or you need some sneakers with some grip on them too. Like, these can be any of your pair of sneakers.
Okay, so you need some boots or something. Yeah. So they're just.
Because first of all, even if
this is the insider stuff people don't realize.
Yeah, like, you don't want to wear nice sneakers anyway because they're treating the roads. And when they treat the roads, it's brown and it's muddy and everything. From the ice and from the sand. So the
vintage Air Jordans at home.
Yes, because I saw one. I saw two people. I was messing with this one guy. He had on some nice white Nike Air Max, and I was looking at him, and his wife was next to him, and I was like, "You're a bold man." And he was like, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "I like those Air Max because I got a pair at home myself." I was like, "I like those."
You're a shoe guy.
I like those Air Max.
I'm not, but yeah.
And I was like, and he was like, "Thank you." I was like, "But why would you wear white Air Max in the midst of all this brown, slushy snow?" And he was like, you know what? It was a tactical error. I thought it was going to be something different until I got here. And he was like, well, I'm already in it.
That's
let me be super careful. I was like,
again, this is the important stuff people like gloss over. It's one thing to write checks and like, all right, how much does it cost? But you realize, oh shit, I can't wear these boots. Like, you gotta be on this. It's cold as hell.
Yeah. Cause you don't wear the winter clothes.
Like, yeah.
You don't want to wear nice shoes anyway to nice sneakers because they're going to get messed up.
Right.
So, but now
it's the pro insider tip. This is the good stuff. Yeah.
You can find, cause I did see a lot of them. You can find nice, cause I guess it's why people make them too. Nice, cute boots for the winter.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I saw a ton of them out there.
Right.
From Timberland to, I can't even think of other brands that's out there, but I saw a ton of nice, like, especially for women.
Colorado. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw a ton of them for like women, and it was matching them up with outfits. It was really cute.
Yeah.
But you know, and I guess that's because they've been there before.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people said
that, like that the lady that just like that ate it. I'm guessing
it was her first time.
It's her first time.
Yeah. It was her first time. So, and I didn't know it, but I'm sure. Yeah. It was her first.
I'm not a betting man.
I am,
by the way.
Told us that. Because we heard people online, it was like, once you've been here before, you know that you can sacrifice all the cuteness because you're going to have on big jackets, scarves, earmuffs, and hats anyway. So it's like, unless you're a presenter and you're a host, and when you can have an outfit at the venue you're going to be
at. Yeah, you have a change of clothes in the green room. Yeah, like.
Yeah, you can dress nice, but make sure your feet are warm and you have a nice enough jacket on that can keep you warm and some headgear that's going to keep you warm as well too.
Yeah. That's, again, this is one of those things too. I'm from Jersey. You've lived in Michigan. Like when you've lived in a cold environment for however long, like you get the basics, but like people don't realize, like if you live in a desert or live in the swamps of New Orleans and you go to this environment, it is a 180 and you have to dress appropriately.
Yeah.
You know, just like the other way around. Like if you live in Canada and go to New Orleans, like, like you can leave the wool at home. Like
it's nonsense. But yeah. So yeah, cool. That's a tip. So if you go, make sure you dress for the winter because it is cold as hell there. And then you know you want to prepare for the terrain too.
Excellent. That's awesome, man.
So any final thoughts?
No, man. I love the fact that you came back from Sundance. That's such an interesting experience. And just throwing it out there for anybody. Like I have a friend of mine that's like going to Iditarod in a couple weeks. I'm like, oh, I'm so jealous. Just like these experiences are few and far between, so I just encourage anybody, just do it. If you get an opportunity to go someplace for any reason like this,
no,
just do it. No one's ever, I've never regretted going anywhere.
Well, I did Vegas. I didn't typically care for Vegas.
Even if you don't like it, like I've been there.
Yeah.
Again, you learned a lesson like, all right, this is what it's like on TV. All right, never have to go there again. Like, you know, I did New Year's Eve in Times Square once. Mm-hmm. Never have to do that again. I'll never do that again. That's horrible. But I did it. And I don't regret it. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I mean, my final thought is, especially for content creators, yeah, just whatever you want to do, just go ahead and pursue it, put it out there. Don't ever think that, you know, you're not as good as somebody else, because you don't know what you're good at until you start making the content and producing it. And over time, you start getting better. And always go for your dream, because like I said, I wouldn't have gone. I wouldn't have expected that anything of what I was doing would be of any use to anybody that was there. And I was wrong. So, yeah, like I said, I encourage that, that's, you that, to...
That's,
to
that's his wife calling. Oh, he just said he's wrong.
I encourage you to go. I encourage you to go. Have a good time. I always say live your best life. Live, love, laugh. Don't let things stress you out. To a degree, not all the time. And, yeah, live like tomorrow. Live like today is the last day that you have here, and just enjoy life itself, because you never know. Life is not promised. So I did see a lot of death over this past couple weeks, especially with these mass shootings that have been taking place. So, yeah, enjoy life for what it is. And thank y'all for tuning in. And, yeah, make sure y'all keep in, stay tuned for the In-Person Studio Artist Show for February 11th.
That's right.
Love you guys.
Cycles going round and round and round like the merry-go. Stand for truth or fall for any old scenario. That's why I keep my circle smaller than it.